Okay, so rest. We are talking about rest today. Yeah. Good to do after the holidays. We are designed by God to work from a place of rest. And we know this, but we fight this. Work is activity that is done in order to achieve a purpose or result. So, and we toil and with that purpose, and we come alive in that purpose, and that's good. We were made to work. Work is part of God's good design for us from the very beginning. And so is rest. We were made to dwell with God. That's what the garden was about. He is our true home, our rest. According to the dictionary, rest is the cessation of work in order to refresh and recover strength. In rest, we intentionally stop working to achieve so that we can be refreshed, ready to work again. The most restful thing we can do is spend time with our Father, the one who made us, the one who knows us, the one who loves us just as we are, the one who wants us to know him, wants us to trust him and love him too. This is the rest that God designed us for, just being with him, enjoying the day with him, chatting with him about what's on our heart, and listening to what's on his. Psalm 46 commands us to rest with the Father. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The NASB translates it this way: stop striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Stop. Just stop. The root word here means to let go, to relax, to sink into. This is how we come to know our Father. This is how we come to see him and to love him. We stop working. We stop distracting ourselves. And we rest with our Father. We sink into him. You know, when kids get overtired, they start going a little cuckoo. They might start like running around or laughing maniacally or hitting any number of things that they can think of to like keep themselves awake and ignore the reality that what they really need is rest. And kids aren't the only ones that do this, right? Maybe for us, it's scrolling through our phone or playing a game or, you know, watching TV. When was the last time that you pushed yourself past tired and ignored your need to rest? I've done it, definitely. And it doesn't work. I don't know why I do it again. Our need for rest doesn't just disappear on its own. It doesn't solve itself while we're busy doing something else. Our souls must have times of rest with our Father. That's how they're replenished. Jesus himself, when he was on earth, he regularly looked at the work that's still to be done, and he stopped. He left it behind, he left his friends and his family, and he spent time resting with his Father. You know, sometimes we start to think that we're the only ones who can do something, and that everyone else around us is dependent on us, so our need to rest will just have to wait. What we're doing is we're starting to imagine that we're God. And while we might get caught in that trap, the reality is there really was only one Jesus. There really was only one Son of God and man, only one person who could teach and heal and love with the full, complete knowledge of God the Father. And Jesus showed us that even his role wasn't more important than resting in his relationship with his Father. Jesus looked at the needs of the people around him. He cared deeply for those people. And he stopped helping. He stopped leading. He stopped serving to go off by himself and enjoy spending time with his father. We get into the habit of running around on empty. The red gaslight clicks on and we pray or worry or cross our fingers and just keep going, hoping we can make it where we need to go before we truly run out of fuel. Or we focus on where we need to be next instead of where we are now. And we make mistakes. We run a red light that we didn't see. We trip and fall and break a bone. We miss the look of dismay on our kids' face when they can't get a minute of our attention. When we don't take time to rest, we're more likely to be laid low by a virus that's circulating. We're more likely to be short-tempered. We're more likely to be focused on ourselves, preoccupied with our schedule, our needs, our to-do list. And none of this honors God. It doesn't exalt him. It doesn't reveal his love and majesty to those around us. Maybe this isn't you. You know, maybe you do know how to rest with God and you do that regularly. That's great. Continue. And maybe start praying that God will send someone your way to ask you about rest so that you can begin to encourage and share with someone else what you've experienced. But if you are a person who avoids rest with the Father, I invite you to think for a moment about the people in your life. Do you know someone who knows how to rest? Truly rest. Paul gives us the cheat code to spotting them in his letter to the Galatians. He says, the fruit grown in the life of a person who has spent time resting with God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I actually find the Message version of this verse particularly helpful. Peterson describes these same things this way. He says, God brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that the basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Just before this, Paul says, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on, he says. Those are the realities of living disconnected from God. And when we look at these side by side, I mean, there's no question which life we want, right? So how do we get that life? We rest with our Father. In his letter to the Romans, Paul encourages us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, the way that you reason. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This word transform here, I find super interesting. It's metamorpho, But the morph part, just like we would expect, it means to change. But specifically, to be thoroughly, dramatically changed from the inside out. And the meta part, not related to how we use the word now, means, it literally means after being with. It's the effect after being with. So after being with God, we are changed dramatically in a way that reflects our new inner reality. We can't help but be affected by resting in God's presence. Just like we can't help but pick up the little mannerisms and the turns of phrases from family and friends that we spend time with. Our souls need us to find times of rest, times of quiet where we can be found by God. So start with a minute. 1 minute where you put your phone on airplane mode or you leave it in your house and you breathe slowly and deeply. Maybe you walk to the mailbox and you look around and notice the birds or the grass or the cars. Maybe you sit with your eyes closed in the morning, your cup of coffee in your hand, and just slowly inhale and enjoy that aroma. Or sit in your parked car, lean your seat back, and take a minute before you drive. You know, whenever or wherever it is, take the quiet moment. Don't rush past it. I recently came across a new to me acronym for prayer. Pray. Yeah. And it stands for pause, rejoice, ask, yield. So this is not the way to pray, but it is a way to pray that I think is actually particularly helpful for today. How do we rest with God? We pause. We pause our work, we pause our phone, we pause our worry, we pause our friends and family. Then we rejoice. We turn our attention to God, we notice him, we celebrate him, we get excited about the things that excite him, we thank him. And then we ask. We share what's on our mind. He wants us to do that. He wants this conversation. We share our joys and our worries, our questions, our decisions. We ask for help. We ask for guidance. We ask to see how God is at work. We ask God what he thinks, what he cares about, how he feels about us or our spouse or our coworker. We ask God what's possible, what's beautiful, maybe what it was like to create the world. We ask him things to let him get to know us and for us to get to know him. And then we yield. We wait and we listen for answers to those questions we ask. And if the answers we get are different than our desires, we begin to let go of our desires because we honestly like his desires better. We see the beauty of them. We see the light and the life in his ideas, and that's what we want. So we drop what we need to drop, and we pick up that pearl of great price, that peace that surpasses all understanding. If we don't have time to rest, there's something we need to let go of. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not rest. So this morning, right now, we've got the time, and let's take it. So we're going to spend the next 15 minutes resting with our Father. And you've got your choice of 4 different activities to help you do that. You can take a walk outside, put your coat on, breathe in that fresh, crisp air. You can just sit in your seat and quietly meditate, consider. Or you can go to the tables behind the sofas. We've got supplies to make a collage. Be creative. Just see what inspires you. Or in the back over here, we've got papers that you can color while you think and process. There are guides for each of these. You don't need to be bound by them. This is not work. But if you're like lost as to what to do, at each place there are guides at the tables and a peer for outdoor and indoor. So pull out your phone, put it on airplane mode, and spend time with your father. And then we'll come back with some music.
Father, you are so good to us. Forgive us, forgive me, Lord, for knowing that you are reaching out. To think of all that you've done to create a way for us to have a relationship with you. Forgive us for ignoring that. Forgive us for filling our life with things that keep us from you, that we try to substitute for you. There's nothing. There's no one as good, as loving, as kind, as patient, as faithful, as strong. God, may we as a people, as a church, begin to hear your voice even louder. God, turn up the volume in our spirit to hear you, to know what to lay aside, to know when to stop and be with you. Lord, I praise you for those in our community that I know who do this well. Thank you for their example. And I praise you that we see that it works, that you can do this in a life. And for those of us, like myself, who struggle to stop, to turn the music down, the TV off, the whatever it is, and just be present to you, God, help us. Give us grace in the trying and in the failing, but lead us, Lord. Show us how to do it. And bless the effort, Lord, that we, as we taste of you and experience you, God, it would just so richly bless our life that it would become something that we long to return to again and again, because you are that good. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us first. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.